Welcome to the Authentic Expert Podcast. We want to help you teach with heart, grow your business, and make an impact. Our mission is to introduce you to the best ideas, practices, case studies, and motivation so you can get dramatically better results with your online courses and your business. Thank you for joining us today. Now let's learn together.
Hi, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to the Authentic Expert Podcast. Today's guest is Janine Blackwell, creator of an amazing training program called Create Six-Figure Courses. This program Janine has created, it helps experts like authors, speakers, coaches, and consultants to design and create successful online courses that sell. I'm really excited to share Janine's unique perspective with you today. Janine has a remarkable background in that she's worked both on large-scale learning projects for corporations, and she started her own successful online course business. So she really knows the learning side and the entrepreneurial side of the equation. At the end of our conversation today, Janine shows us how you can frame your course design in the form of a single powerful question. It's a great tool for truly focusing your course design. So make sure to listen all the way to the end for that coaching from Janine. And now, on to the interview.
Well, this is Abe Crystal from Rizuku, and I'm here with Janine Blackwell from JanineBlackwell.com. Janine, great to have you on the show today.
It is great to be here with you too, Abe, and great to be here with everybody else.
So I got to know Janine by way of Stacey Stone, who introduced us because of Janine's program, Create Six-Figure Courses. And as I got to know that program over the last year or two, I came to realize it was really innovative and very unusual and different in this whole world of what are the techniques that you use to create successful and engaging and effective online courses. It's a world with a lot of hype and sadly sometimes not that much substance. And it was really exciting to discover someone who had really thought deeply about this and was really helping people get results. So Janine is someone I've wanted to have on the show for a long time and really excited to pick her brain about how do we create courses that sell and how do we build more effective businesses around our online courses, because it's something that she's really, really passionate about. So Janine, we have lots of questions to ask you, but before we dive into specific tactics, I'd love for you to share a little bit more about your story and how you got into this work you do today around helping people build their online course businesses.
Well, I am happy to be here, and thank you for that lovely introduction, and it's a pleasure to work with you as well. And like everybody here, it's funny, the thing that we end up teaching is typically something that we've gone through figuring out on our own. We've had to figure something out. It was an opportunity we had to figure out, a problem we had to work through, a skill we needed to develop, but some kind of way we went through this journey of figuring it out, and now we're on the other side of having figured it out, and we're helping people that are in that same process, figuring it out. Started my business, which was a coaching consulting company. Like everybody, my priority was replacing an income because I moved out of a role in corporate. My role was leading learning in large organizations. And what I did when I started that company, because there was that imperative called, okay, I've got to generate revenue, is that I went and kind of leaned on that expertise of being able to create courses. And my background is in brain-based learning and connecting that to how do you move a result. So if you think about creating a result and you say, this is what I want to create, how do you do that? And how do you create an experience that makes sure that that happens? And so that's what I did. And I launched my first course that year. That course that year did multiple six figures. And from that, I've approached it from the standpoint of how do I stay in the relationship with the people that I was connecting with through that course. Of my business would be what I would call like a relationship model. It's about how do you go deeper and deeper and serve deeper and deeper. And in that process, that course moved to a seven-figure business. And that, I think, is the thing that is really the thing everybody is interested in figuring out. I think all of us come from this desire to serve. I mean, I think everybody I talk to in our Create Six Figure Courses community are people who have great gifts. They are highly motivated to share. They want to make a difference. And the reality is, to do that, we have to generate profit, because the profit is what creates the freedom for us to be able to do those things. The freedom to say yes to the things we want to create, yes to the clients we want to work with, and no to the things that are distractions. You know, like the project that shows up and you feel like you need to take it, right? Because it's a revenue opportunity, but it keeps you from doing the things you want to do. Mm-hmm. So that's been my process. And it's like everybody here, it's a process of looking at kind of what you've done in your whole life. It comes together and you find yourself positioned to be able to use those strengths in creating a course and developing your business.
That's great. So I think it will resonate with a lot of people listening who they want to make that transition from selling their services or selling their time, right? From consulting and coaching or providing an outsourced service into having an expertise-driven business that they can deliver through courses and reclaim that freedom.
Well, yeah. And I think the thing that's interesting is that, you know, all of us, everybody I talk to and connect with, coaches, consultants, authors, people who have an expertise in something, I mean, the part of what you're doing that's not the fun part is the part called figuring out how to monetize it. It's not fun to have a conversation about a fee structure. You know, it's not fun to figure out, okay, where am I going to go find the next client while you're trying to serve the one you have. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is, I think, about a shift in figuring out how do you design a structure that allows that to happen automatically. And I think a course as the platform of your business is the way to do that, because the course attracts people who are very interested in the conversation that you are hosting in your work. So mm-hmm. people come to that. The question is, what do you do with it from there? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I've learned a couple of things along the way. And so one of the things I learned along the way of sharing this with folks is what kind of gets in the way of that sometimes of being able to build that structure. And I'm happy to share a couple of things that I've seen and that I know really make the difference in the results. And so we can walk through this, Abe, if you want, and then we can kind of connect on those and riff and see where we go from here. But there's a couple key points that I think make a really big difference in creating a course that you put all this work into and you launch it and you get a few people in, you know, here, and then you launch it again, you get a few more people. It never quite gets the momentum that you were really, really envisioning versus the courses that come out the chute, you know, and can do multiple six figures, right, in a year. Like there's a difference in those two kinds of courses. And everybody here has the capability to create the kind of course that really attracts that kind of an audience. And the first place that I think is the difference in the two is that when you're creating, you have to focus on the result rather than focusing on what you're going to teach. So it's not about the what you're teaching. It's about how you're equipping people to create a result. And to do that, you have to get really clear around the question that, the question being, you know, what do my people want to know how to do? Because you have an expertise and that expertise is valuable. It's valuable to the extent that it solves a problem for your audience. So say to yourself, okay, so let me think about my people I want to serve. What is their big question? What is their big problem that they are trying to solve? Because when I can position my course to be the solution to that, I will have that stream, you know, that stream of clients coming in saying, yes, that's exactly what I'm looking for. I want somebody to help me figure out how to do this. But the thing is that sometimes what we think is the thing that people want to know, there's subtle differences in how you can think about it. Like, so for example, I was connecting with somebody recently who is what I would call a networking expert. She's, you know, knows how to connect people. And one of her areas of expertise is LinkedIn. So mm-hmm. when she was looking at her course, the focus originally was, well, I know my audience would want to know how to use LinkedIn to grow their business. So how to use LinkedIn, that's one of those things where, yeah, we'd all like to know how to use LinkedIn, but it's not the imperative, you know, mm-hmm. it's not the urgent thing. And for her audience, which were people like all of us, solopreneurs, entrepreneurs, it's definitely not the priority, because the priority is how do I grow my business? And more specifically, how do I find clients? So a shift can be thinking about the question isn't about how do I use LinkedIn? The question is, how do I find clients on LinkedIn? Mm-hmm. And how do I find clients on LinkedIn today, like right now? So that subtle shift in the positioning moved the course from something that was sharing the features and all the different things that you can do in LinkedIn, which has this tendency to feel like an overview, to something that became really laser focused, that was focusing on what you can do in a very short period of time, you know, around how do you get a result. And it helped to really laser focus the content and will exponentially increase the attraction she gets. Like, people will be energized and see that and go, yeah, that's something I want to talk about. So it's really that thing is that the key is, number one, focusing on how you're going to equip people to do something, and leading into that second point, which is you have to know what the question is that your audience is asking themselves.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's kind of pause there and look at that all in kind of a larger context, I guess. So what I heard you say, and this, I think this is really important for people to take away, is that you need a strategy for your courses, your offerings, and your business if you want to get beyond just having tiny little bits of traction, if you really want to make an impact with your work. And I want to get more precise about that and get more guidance from you too. But something we hear a lot from people is that they want to make an impact beyond money, right? And what I heard you say is you've got to nail the business model so that you can make an impact to help more people get results.
Yes.
So the theme of our interviews is around being an authentic expert. So I was wondering if you could speak to that in terms of how do you create courses that are successful in terms of helping people and that are successful financially, but while still being authentic, while still practicing authenticity in your business and in your teaching?
Well, I think, first of all, when I think about authenticity, I think that's about being real. It's about, this is who I am. It's about being truthful in what it is that you communicate, and realizing that what you're doing isn't for everybody, you know? And when you think about that, when people who are able to come out with their own voice and say, this is who I am, this is what I believe, this is my stance in the world, those people realize that that doesn't appeal to everybody. The way that connects to what we're talking about here is that your course isn't going to appeal to everybody. It shouldn't, because if you're throwing a net that's so wide and you're trying to say, well, yeah, I teach people about how to get clients on LinkedIn, but I think people want to know about Facebook and Google AdWords and everything else, so maybe I should just do it on social media, you know? Like, we have this tendency to want to go wide because we think if I narrow it too much, there won't be enough people to generate that kind of traction that I'm hoping to have. When what I see is it's just the opposite. The more clear you are about who you are here to serve, and the more narrow you get in your niche, which, by the way, usually has to do with you really focusing on the thing that you're truly gifted at and the thing that you're really passionate about. When you go there, you're more successful. So when you go broad, there's a risk of sounding like everybody else. And I think sometimes, and we all do it, you know, like we all watch people that are successful in your particular area of expertise, and you hear other voices, and you watch other teachers, and you watch other experts, and we watch to learn, which I think is powerful. You know, it's powerful to notice what is working, and more importantly, what's working in common, because that kind of speaks to, you know, the things that we can all learn from. But the risk is always to start to try to be like everybody else. And when we're not being who we really are and really focused on the thing that's our expertise, we get lost. We get lost in the noise. So I think this whole exercise of getting really clear on who is your audience, what is their core question that they want to have answered related to their big problem they're willing to invest in, and how does that overlap with your expertise? That's your sweet spot. That's your authentic place where you stand. And you say, you know, I have a gift. I can help you with this. I know this is your problem. And this is the thing that I'm passionate about helping you with. And when you stand in that place, that's very powerful. And I think it's really attracted to authenticity, because I think authenticity takes courage, you know, mm-hmm. and we all watch it and we admire it. You know, we love when somebody is just being who they are, and we see that and we're attracted to it.
That's great. So it's in a way, like, the most inauthentic you can be is just to simply try and copy what you see other people doing successfully without really tuning into what do you care about and who are you really trying to help and make a difference for?
Yes. And, you know, and I'm somebody who for many, many, many years, and I can't help it, my brain's now wired permanently this way, but, you know, my focus was, and I kind of laughed a minute ago, Abe, because when you said, let's be precise, right? Because mm-hmm. that's so how your brain works. Like, let's be precise. You're wired to be precise. And that's from your many years of what you do and your expertise. My expertise was about watching, you know, watching people, watching companies, and being brought in to figure out how do people produce high results? Like, what mm-hmm. does it take to do something right? And noticing what people who do it well, what they do differently. Because if you can notice what the people out there that are doing things that you want to do, rather than watching who they are and how they talk and what they offer, go underneath that and look at the structure of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. Because the structure is really the business structure. What all these guys have in common, what all the people who can really make the leap to share their message with a larger audience, what they all have in common is not their being. What they have in common is the way they structure the underneath of what they're offering, which is really the revenue model, the mm-hmm. way they put it out there. And I think a lot of us miss that because there's an aura, there's a packaging, there's a celebrity, there's whatever it is for you that when you watch that side, but what's more important is to pay attention to what's underneath. And what's underneath is that everybody who is making a big impact and sharing their message, they have a course. They have a course that is the core of how they scale themselves. So everybody in this conversation is already ahead of the game in that, because you're either A, you have a course and you're asking yourself how to leverage it, or B, you're thinking about creating a course as that next step. And I think that's a big thing, because that's key to making that leap to be able to serve more people and make a bigger impact.
Okay. So to recap for folks, your guidance in how to create a course that sells and you can really build a business around is, first of all, to get extremely clear about who it is you're serving, what question you're answering for them, or what problem you're solving for them. And then secondly, to build a whole set of offerings that are going to allow you to grow revenue kind of on the back of that course.
Right, right. And so let me animate that, like, tactically, yeah. like what that could look like, right? So if you're thinking about, you know, you start with a question and you're thinking the question is, how can I find clients, right? So maybe that's your question. Or how do I create a blog is your question that you think your audience is asking. There's a lot of things you can do to dig into that and research what your people are looking for in that and get ideas about the what I call the sellability. You know, it's the marketability of mm-hmm. your course. Mm-hmm. And one of the ways to do that, for example, which is one of my favorite ways to do that, is to, if you're thinking about, like, let's say, how do you create a blog, right? So you could go to Amazon, go into the book section on Amazon.com mm-hmm. and type in, how do you create a blog? And what you're going to see is a ton of books on how to create a blog. Mm-hmm. So go through that and find, like, on that first page, you know, the first top 10 or whatever, start clicking into those books and click on reviews. And the reviews are where people write, you know, reviews of the book itself. And what's interesting when you do that is you can start clicking in that. And especially if a book has more than like 2 reviews, right? Because it's probably their mom and dad that wrote the review for that. But if they've got like 20, you know, go in there and start looking at the reviews. And take a sheet of paper and put plus on one side, you know, line in the middle, minus on the other side, kind of like what people like, what they think is missing or what is not there. And do a little noticing, like notice what people love about the books on how to create a blog. Mm-hmm. Notice what they're saying is, I wish it would have had this, or it isn't updated with that, or like they'll just tell you all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And as you're thinking about that, you're about to fill a gap called creating a course on how to create a blog. So why not find out from this audience that clearly wants to know how to do that, what they're looking for? Like, that's one of many ways that you can test before you even get into the creating of it. Now, that's helping you get really clear about what people want and what the question is. The platform for growth in your course, think about, okay, I'm going to deliver what result? I'm going to show people how to do what? I'm going to show them how to set up a blog that represents their brand, that has the right content for their audience. Like, you kind of make your list of what it is you're helping people do. Like, when they're done with my course, they are going to have this result.
Okay.
So you write that out. That's the cornerstone, because when you know that, you can now market your course effectively.
Okay.
Now, what's important to the second part of what Abe's bringing up here is the idea that, how does it connect to really building a structure for my business and how I actually can make even more revenue in my business? Well, the key to that is to fast forward to when they're finished with that course. So now I have my blog, you delivered, this course was great, I love you, and I have a great blog, you showed me how to do the techie stuff, I got it branded, everything's all set up, it's looking great. What is the new question I'm going to have the minute I finish that course? And that's the thing I think a lot of people miss, because what we do then is we go off and create another course and another course and another course. And it's like a portfolio of courses or a buffet of courses that we offer, because we have different things we know how to do. So we do these different things or we say, I'm going to create a blog course for entrepreneurs. I'm going to create a blog course for writers. And we kind of come up with like different audiences, right? But here's where the real revenue opportunity is to anticipate what that next question is. Because once you taught me how to do a course, I mean, how to create my blog, my next question is going to be, okay, now how do I get traffic to my course? So the next thing you could offer would be, how do you grow, you know, how do you grow to 1,000 subscribers on your blog in 100 days or something, you know? And that could be another course, but it could also be you offering coaching support. It could be a group coaching program. It could be a membership site. It could be an event, you know, where people come for a couple of days and work with you. It could be a VIP day where you build their traffic strategy. Most want to do in your business, but that opportunity, and here kind of is where it goes back to the revenue model, is that when people finish your first course and they get that great result, you'll have 20% of them that are going to be ready for what's next. And ready to work with you, say, to find their first 1,000 subscribers. And more importantly, they're ready to work with you and invest at a deeper level. So you can factor a factor of at least 3 times what the initial course is what that 20% will be ready to do with you in the next offer. So, you know, if your course is $500, then 3 times that is $1,500. Your next level offer called, let's get to 1,000 subscribers and I'm going to work with you in a group coaching, would be positioned at that price point. This is the thing that I think is important for everybody to think about, because the whole point of creating your business is to create the life you're imagining, right? So if you want to do group coaching, how does your course feed to that? You got to know what the question they're going to be asking is, because that's going to position what your coaching is. You have to know that if you want to be in the business of creating retreats, well, that retreat needs to address the question that people will land on when they finish your course. And that's why the course works as a funnel for all the things you're doing. And I think it's kind of a begin with the end in mind. If you're not clear on where you want to land in your bigger picture of your business, you know, you could build a course and you could have people coming in it, but it may not solve your issue of wanting to fill your higher end programs and or even generate the revenue that you're looking for. Because what's important is a well-designed next level offer that has a thread through it, meaning it works. Like, where you start with people, there's a thread that runs through everything you do and they move with you from offer one to offer two. Even just the adding that second offer with that level of focus can double your revenue with the same amount of clients and same amount of people. And I think that's, that was the big aha for me. You know, I'm a creator. I love creating, like a lot of you guys. So I would just create one thing and then go to the next thing, create another thing. Mm-hmm. And then I realized, I looked around and I thought, wow, I'm just leaving everybody. You know, mm-hmm. like the people that I was serving, I wasn't fulfilling what they needed next. The minute I did that, I was able to double and do that serving, you know, relatively small community of people, you know, compared to what a lot of folks have to generate that same level of revenue.
Hmm. Very interesting. So how did you come to that realization?
By watching people who are doing that and dissecting their business structure and noticing how they do it. It's about kind of letting go of watching the outside and the personality and the celebrity and the, you know, the expertise and the packaging, and look underneath to what they're doing. So notice course one is this, next level is this, how many people are moving from here to here. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to have clients that are multi-seven figure experts that a lot of folks know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, getting behind the scenes and being able to kind of go behind the curtain and see that was really key. Cause I think that we all have to realize that when something works, there's a system around why it works. And it kind of really leads me to the bigger kind of final point I'd share with everybody here, that I think the thing that sets us up to be really successful in creating a business that generates what you imagine it doing, I think the key thing that you have to start with first before the other stuff really shows up is a mindset thing. And I think when the mindset that allows us to be really successful in creating programs, courses, and offers for the people we want to serve, the mindset is that you are not your results and you are not your idea. Hmm. You know, if you can separate yourself from the fact that it's not working or didn't do as much as I wanted it to do, and realize that's not you, that's mm-hmm. just the structure that has been put into place. And the same is true of your idea. If you're in a place where you have an idea for a course, you will be so much more successful if you are able to distance yourself from the idea and you're not the idea. You know, mm-hmm. like you can look at your idea and go, here's my idea. I'm not really attached to it. I'm passionate about it, mm-hmm. but I'm not attached. Mm. And so if I can look at it, then I can go do research and I can talk to people and I can refine it without the feedback feeling like what I'm here to share isn't enough or, you know, it's not good enough. It's really about being a bit removed, because that allows you to be your most creative, because you can really see it. Mm-hmm. And I think that serves us all well, because what it will do when you can adopt that mindset, and, you know, let's say you launch and it's not what you wanted, okay? And you get a few people and you're like, wow, really? All that work? It's not what I wanted. Somebody with the mindset called I'm not my results can look at that and go, okay, so what did work? Mm-hmm. We're going to do more of that. And what do I need to do different next mm-hmm. time? And we approach launching as an iterative process. You cannot launch a course once and think you're done. Every single time you launch it, you're going to get better and better. And if you ask those questions, what worked that we can do more of, what didn't work that I need to change? If you do that every time, you're going to get to the point where you have something that is phenomenal and truly what a lot of us want to call an evergreen autopilot launching machine, right? Mm-hmm. But it doesn't happen the first time. And I think that's an unfortunate myth, you know? And I think sometimes when we do the work, we put it out. And then if it's not what we thought it would be, we just do the same thing again and kind of settle for the fact that we have less results than we were really wanting. It's mm-hmm. about really putting as much creativity in how you launch as you did in how you created the course.
Interesting. You gave some great examples here of models and courses that were kind of, you know, business or entrepreneur focused. And I think those are powerful. I was wondering if, does it apply the same way to people working on courses in very different contexts? Like we often see people working on courses in creative areas such as creative writing or design or art or courses personal development.
Yeah, that's a great question. Because a big part of our community, you know, probably the majority of our community is in that space, personal development, spiritual work, manifestation, really about a practice that we're helping people to do. Mm-hmm. It all applies the same way. So, I was working with somebody this week who her core work is really about helping people become a manifester. Okay. And so what I mean by that is, adopting this practice that you are able really to create your reality and manifest things. So her work is really about that. And she has an incredible methodology for how she moves people through that. Now, the challenge is, it's the same thing, right? You have to ask yourself, what is the question your people are asking coming into that course? Mm-hmm. For unless it's the enlightened people who already know what that means, when I mean enlightened, like they're aware of that kind of work and they're already in that, that really wasn't the focus of her work. Like her focus of her work was she wants to introduce people to the power of this. So that means that's not going to be my language. I'm not going to type into Google, a course on manifestation or how can I become a manifester, because that's not their language. Mm-hmm. So when you're in that space, go back to the clients that you work with. Mm-hmm. Like, think of your favorite people you work with and think of the problems they arrived on your doorstep with. Like, they came to you, they found you, they engaged with you because they wanted to do what? Mm. What was the problem? And when I asked her this, it was like things like, I wanted to manifest a career that I really wanted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to manifest in my relationship I have right now, the passion and the love and the desire that we had when we were first together, right? Mm-hmm. I want to manifest a relationship with my child that's the one I really wish it would be. Like, so she's kind of going through this and see, that's the problem. People are looking for, how do I create health and vitality for myself? How do I shift my relationship? How do I find a career? So that's the questions. Now, what's going to be inside the course is, I always think of it like, people are outside your door talking about whatever they're talking about. Like, I want a better relationship. I wish I could manifest a job where I could make more money or have more excitement in my job. Mm-hmm. Whatever they're talking about, that's the thing you have to invite them in with. Mm-hmm. Because they don't know that once they come into your home, like your course, your work, that's when they figure out, oh, this is really about manifesting, right? Mm. But they're not going to know that until you meet them where they are. And where they are is thinking about their question. When people have a problem, like, I'm unhappy in my relationship, the self-talk sounds like, how can I make this better? So if you could think about what's going on in their self-talk, that is the question you have to meet them with. Okay. And when you get that, I think it makes a huge difference, Abe, because what I find is when you do that work, you already have great marketing copy. Mm-hmm. You already have great copy to write a Facebook ad, because now you know what people are thinking about, and that will lead them into your course and expand your audience.
So if you haven't sort of done that kind of reflection in a while, or you've just been working with clients for so long that it's become kind of background knowledge that's hard for you to articulate, is it going back and is it like doing some calls with people and kind of asking them questions and trying to tease it out by talking to people on the phone, or how can we tactically do it?
I've had folks tell me that, I've got great clients that I love, so I just went and talked to them, kind of asked them, tell me about, like, when you first came to me, like, what was the big thing you really wanted to solve? Like, what was the big problem you wanted to solve? I've seen people do phone calls that they record and they just kind of go back and listen to them. I've seen people do surveys like, hey, I'm working on creating something kind of cool over here, and like, you're my favorite client ever, and I wish I had 10 of you. So I want to find more people like you. So here's three questions I'd like, if you'd willing to answer, it would be really helpful for me.
Okay.
And you could start with that first question. Like, when you first came here to be with me, like, what was the question you were asking? Mm-hmm. What was the big problem? What would you say is the big transformation that happened from before, to after we did our work together? So you can hear in their language how they speak about that. And I think that's a great place to start. Another place you could go is if you had a social media following, like Facebook or a group you have, or maybe you belong to a online discussion forum, you could go over there and do kind of the same thing. So, hey guys, I have people ask me all the time about what would it look like to create some kind of experience? I'm thinking about creating a free webinar on I wouldn't call it manifestation, on like creating what you want in your life. Mm-hmm. What would be the biggest thing you would want to create in your life? And mm-hmm. you could like have people just tell you, if I could wave one wand and create something in my life, like a permanent shift in my life, where, what area would I want to do that in? Okay. And like have them, you know, give you that. So you do it in different places and then you get it all on the table and like look at what's showing up. And what's powerful about that is that usually it's giving you the language of your people, and they might be saying the same thing you are, but you're on the other side of the expertise. So sometimes, to your point, Abe, like the language you use is different because you see things they don't see yet.
Okay, great. That's excellent.
I do have one other tip on that too, that please. I think can be an exercise that doesn't involve anybody else.
Sure.
Is that if you're, you know, in that place, like you've been in it so long, it's kind of like forest for the trees. You know, you've got the bark marks on your forehead because you're so close to the forest. It's like hard to see it. If that's where you find yourself, try doing the exercise of remembering when you were first exposed to the work you're sharing with the world, mm-hmm. or you first discovered it, or you first had your aha around what it was, like you went on your journey to figure it out. Because if you can go back to who you were when you first started, mm-hmm. why did you go down that path of trying to figure this out? Mm-hmm. What problem were you having that had you go off and search and discover this? Because you're following your people probably are in that same place that you were at that time. And you can get into that and kind of compare your experience with what some of your clients are telling you as well.
Okay, interesting. So I want to give you time for a couple last ideas for folks. But before we ask that last question, I would love for you to share a little bit more about where people can find you online and connect with more of your writing and your teaching.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great. So you guys can come find me at JeaneBlackwell.com. And Jeanine is JeaneNine, Blackwell, BlackWell.com. So on the site, we have a couple of resources there that expand on this conversation. So one is a downloadable ebook that speaks to the structure we've been talking about. So when you think about your course as the platform, what does it look like for me to think about what could be next? How do I start to think about the model, the revenue model that's going to enable me to show up differently and serve differently? Mm-hmm. So that's all there. And then you can also connect with me on Facebook too. So Jeanine Blackwell on Facebook as well. And you can find that on the JeaneBlackwell.com site.
Cool. So to kind of help people leave today with some energy and wanted to move forward, making their courses and the revenue model for their courses stronger, what would be one kind of action or piece of advice or takeaway that listeners could take today to start creating more authentic and more successful online courses?
Well, I think it all flows from that first question. The first question you're exploring with your audience. So if I were going to pick one action item right now, I would say go back and think about what is the question that I am answering in my course. Mm-hmm. And the question is the question your people want to have answered. So that's really what's really critical, right? It's really what's the question they want answered because they have a problem around it and my course is positioned to solve. And I think once you have that, everything flows from there. I mean, in the Create Six Figure Courses Bootcamp, we start with that at the beginning. Like that's the first module is let's get clear on the question. Let's test the question. Let's make sure that we've got the language right. We're really clear because everything flows from that, including, you know, the content you include in your course, because what that question does is it filters, like, is this content I'm thinking about putting in module 5 essential? Does it get me to answering this question? Does it get me to equipping them to produce the result? If it doesn't, it's nice to have content. It's not need to have content. And one of the biggest challenges we all have is the limited bandwidth our audience has to stick with something. I know we talk about engagement and how do we keep people with us. Well, the key to that is making sure that you've done the work to filter through the content. And the only content you have in there is content that delivers the promised result. And if you do that, I'll stick with you because you are promising me a result that's really important to me, mm-hmm. and you're showing me how to do it. And you're showing me how to do it in a way that doesn't waste my time. Mm. And I think that's the key. I mean, we can put all kinds of engaging activities and things, but the truth of the matter, I mean, think of all of us when we go through a course, right? What we want is what we want. And we want to walk away with the thing that we want is the transformation. So if you do that work, it takes care of so many of the problems that are kind of inherent in an online learning environment.
Would you be able to give us an example or even a format for what's a powerful, effective question that would be the core of a well-focused and effective course?
Yeah, I can give you my example, right? So, and I could probably give you more. You caught me off guard. So I'll give you mine. Mine, you know, and think about my expertise. I think I'm a great example of this. So I had 20 years of experience starting in marketing sales and moved into learning design and mm-hmm. brain-based learning design. So my expertise is that I'm an expert in instructional design and how to create results and how to market. Mm-hmm. When I started my course, like what I thought I was going to teach was how to create the course just itself, like how do you put the activities in, the content and all that. When I connected and did some of these things I'm talking about with us today, you know, like how do I get to the question that is my people's question? The question is, yeah, I want to create it, but why do I want to create it? I want mm-hmm. to create it because I want to be able to launch it and I want it to be profitable so that it creates a platform for me of predictable revenue that I can count on. Mm-hmm. And so when I discovered that, I realized my question wasn't like, how do I create a course? Mm-hmm. The question is, how do I create and launch a profitable online course? Mm-hmm. So I expanded that based on really what I knew the question was. Mm-hmm. And that became the filter of the content. It even had me add in content that I would have missed probably, mm-hmm. you know? I was working with somebody recently who has an expertise in coaching, so like in the corporate world. So mm-hmm. her audience is corporations and she does work in coaching. So originally it was, how can I be a more effective coach mm-hmm. was her question. So that's an example. But do you know, when you hear that, you see how it's broad? You mm-hmm. see how it could be like anybody teaching that? There's probably 1,000 courses out there, like how to be a more effective coach. Mm-hmm. And what she did was she went to her audience and asked, okay, what really is their question? Their question is, how do they get their team to be more productive? Mm-hmm. So she's serving, basically her audience is manufacturers who serve retailers. So the retailer is saying, how do I get my people to be more productive? And so her whole focus, rather than how to be a more effective coach, it became how do you move your team to 90% productivity? Because that's all their goal. Like they all want to know, how do I get my team optimized to this number? And it's mm-hmm. because of the work they do. You know, they have to generate dollars per hour and in her space. Mm-hmm. So the minute she shifted that, the whole course changed. Hmm. The whole course became about, how do I equip small business owners to have the conversations they need to have to get people to 90% productivity, which is coaching, right? But she's not talking about coaching. Mm-hmm. What she's doing is showing them how to have the conversation. She's giving them checklists. She's giving them the scripts. She's holding them accountable and having the conversations that matter, that are going to move the number. And she's having huge success. Hmm. Huge. This is a 7-figure course. So she went from, you know, how to be a coach leader, which, you know, to how do I solve your big problem, which is increasing productivity in your small business. That's it. So it's about starting with what you know, but what you know is one of the spheres. It's what you know. It's what you're passionate about that you really want to serve, but it has to be meshed with a problem that your client is willing to invest their time and their money in solving. And that's the key in getting specific.
Awesome. That's a perfect thing to leave people with. So go, everyone, find that powerful question to motivate your course, and you'll be dramatically more successful. Thank you so much, Janine, for sharing this framework, these ideas, and these action steps today. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you. This was fun, Abe. And thank you guys for joining in. Lots of fun. So we'll continue the conversation.
Thanks so much for taking the time to listen in today. I hope Janine's tactics gave you fresh ideas for creating a course that will help people get results, a course that will sell. And I love how Janine emphasizes the importance of getting really specific about how your course helps people learn and transform, how you can avoid the trap of creating a course about a topic rather than addressing a real concrete need that people in your community have. It's so important to creating a successful course. So to review other great coaching questions from Janine, head over to AuthenticExpertPodcast.com and get our top takeaways from this interview. Then start applying Janine's coaching and inspiration as you dive into your next course idea. And if you're ready to dive in right now, I'd invite you to head over to RoadmapTo5K.com. We've prepared a free video presentation that walks you through the three key steps of developing a course that will sell. It's literally your roadmap to your first 5K in online course revenue. Stay tuned for more interviews with other inspiring teachers in the future, and I'll see you next time.